Company, what do you want from me and my scars? Everybody lack confident. Everybody lack confident. How many times my potential was anonymous? How many times the city making me promises? So I promise this. I love myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Broad Street Line. We are back with you this week for another 2 hours here on our new home, Spreaker Radio. I am Roy Burton, and I am alongside the man who is the Ben Simmons of sports talk radio. One Chris Domingo. Mr. Domingo, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm not Australian.
Yeah, but you are a talented, once-in-a-generation kind of player.
Oh, I thought you were going to just say I was the AJ Styles of sports talk radio because I'm phenomenal and I'm short.
But actually,
I don't have hair.
Yeah, but you're actually younger than AJ Styles. I'm glad you reminded me because we're on the new Spreaker Radio. We got the new soundboard. I got to upload some wrestling themes to bring us in every week because the AJ Styles theme song is one of the GOAT theme songs of all time.
They don't want none.
They don't want none.
We're not from the South. We're not from the South, but they don't want none.
We wear hoodies. We're both in our mid to late 30s, so we're pretty much like AJ Styles, like that. But no, thank you everybody for tuning in. Shout out to Chris Stevens in the chat room already. Shout out to everybody who's been listening to us for several years and have followed us over to our new home here at Spreaker. Plenty of stuff in store for you this week. NBA draft lottery, T-minus 6 days away, ladies and gentlemen. The biggest day, I think we said this last year, but whatever. The biggest day in recent Sixers history.
So obviously, certain hirings and firings have provoked this, but this is officially the end of the tank.
This is over. I've said that the tank has ended three separate times before this day, but it is officially over. It is officially
Ned Cohen ain't about the tank.
Ned Cohen's not about the tank in life. Mark Eversley is not about the tank in life. Brian Colangelo, not about the tank in life. It's over. It's over. It is it. Whatever happens, happens on May 17th. Whatever happens in that room where they draw the combinations of ping pong balls out will shape the Sixers narrative for the next 10 to 12 years.
How, in Xfinity Live, because I'm about the meters now, or like on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
How tight will the booties be at Xfinity Live?
Oh, you think a lemon booty? You think it's a lemon booty situation? I think you're absolutely right. Oh, it's going to be Lemon Booty City.
Sphincter City, man. People won't be able to enjoy their IPAs until after the lottery.
Yeah, like this has the potential to go very well. This has the potential to go very badly. And usually when there's that high of a potential of badness, I usually don't want to be around people. I got to be with the people. We gotta be with the people now.
Is it official? Well, we have the show on Wednesday. Then
Wednesday,
okay.
Wednesday. I should have asked you, but I thought we had talked about this so much. I figured that we'd have to make the trip down to the Xfinity. Here's the schedule for events next Tuesday for the Broad Street Line. We are doing the show next week on Wednesday. On Tuesday, we will leave work. We will go get food because at some point we'll get good food because we have to have something good at least happen on next Tuesday. Then we will head down to Xfinity Live, hang out with the LB crew, hang out with LL Pavorsky, who's giving away a ton of stuff. This man's insane. We're going to hang out with the crew,
drink some pops. So maybe if I win like some sort of engagement ring, I could consider it a successful
you
trip.
You can get diamond rings. You can get the I know you don't want the trust to process ring. I know you don't want that. But there's diamond earrings. There's engagement rings, like coupons off jewelry. You can consider that as, if we go and eat some good barbecue or whatever and go to Xfinity Live and you win some diamond earrings, it doesn't matter what happens with the Sixers, right? That doesn't matter.
No. I mean, this is really it. And it's amazing how 3 years worth of complete and utter crap has come down to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Not even 10 minutes.
Yeah,
5 minutes.
Not even. Yeah. The Chris in the chat room says the process is deceased. It is over. It is finished. It unofficially died the day Sam Hinkie sent that 13-page resignation letter.
But it's really going to be dead now.
It's really over now. And we when we have broken down the draft, I have all the draft odds on where the Sixers can fall. I have multiple mock drafts conducted by ESPN saying what will happen if the Sixers wind up at 1, 2, 3, or 4, and what the Sixers will wind up doing with those picks. Obviously, one and four is the most desired output. However, if that doesn't happen, what do the Sixers do if they wind up?
I have a prediction. My official prediction will be.
Well, are you going to give it now? Because I was going to ask you in like a minute.
Oh, okay.
In 1 minute, I'm going to ask you what your prediction is on what's going to happen.
It's
going to
be a good and a bad for the Sixers.
Okay, so that's because that's part of the six pack. Because we have plenty to talk about. Because by the way, the national nightmare is over, ladies and gentlemen. Samuel F. Bradford has reported to the Eagles after his lengthy holdout during voluntary workouts. Not even OTAs, just voluntary workouts. Sam Bradford is back. The national nightmare is over.
Man, Eagles, I really hope he doesn't like go out to like eat, man.
He's got to go out, right? Like, unless you're going to have like house parties like New Orleans Noel, you got to go out.
You're making $18 million. You can get anything delivered.
At some point, though, don't you have to go to Chipotle? Don't you have to go to?
What if he wants like
Whole Foods?
Because he's probably like a homie guy. Like he wants to do some work on his house. Don't you need to get wood? Yeah, don't you need to get a Lowe's?
I mean, you can call a contractor. I mean, you for that stuff, like be like me, who's not handy at all. You can call somebody to do all that stuff. That's fine. Maybe Whitefield up.
Because I mean, at some point you got to show. Well,
got to show your face.
I can't wait for OTAs because I think he is obligated. Like he's. Not mandated to talk, but like I guess the first day of OTAs, he's got to talk.
Oh, by the way, May 17th, the same day as the draft lottery, first day of OTAs, first day Sam Bradford has to face the Philadelphia media. May 17th is just a bomb day. just clear your calendar for May 17th, people, because between Sam Bradford and the draft lottery, it's going to be lit.
Oh, my God.
It's
going to
be absolutely lit. So we're talking Sam Bradford. We're talking Sixers draft lottery. And we're talking Tracy McGrady's controversial comments about the quote-unquote watered-down state.
No, but the same. The NBA. No, also, same thing that Charles Barkley said, because he said that on the Dan Patrick Show today.
Is the NBA watered down? We will answer that question over the next couple of hours.
Oh,
here.
Man. NBA sure seemed watered down last night, man. man, it was thirsty.
Oh, man. Speaking of thirsty, there's a lot of people thirsty for the six-pack that I'm about to crack open. But before we get to it. Any shout-outs you'd like to give, sir?
No, let's get to the fine people that make this show happen.
Shout-out to everybody over at the War Room Sports Podcast Network, including the flagship show, warroomsports.com. You can check them out each and every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, over on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to them as well as us on the War Room Sports Podcast Network 24/7, 365. You can check that out at wrspn.com. You can also hear us on the Audman Media Network, www.theaudman.com. And shout out to our friends and sponsors at veteranssshirtium.com. Philadelphia sports apparel at its best. Springtime is here. Get your Phillies gear, get your Eagles gear, get your Sixers gear. Big event coming up next week at the draft party. So you want to be Sixered out for that. Get your Veterans Stadium gear as well. Courtesy of our friends at Veterans Shirtium, www.veteranssshirtium, shirtium.com. And promo code BSLINE will get you 10% off of your order at Veteran Shirtium. So cool gear, very cool prices, veteranshirtium.com. Don't forget to follow those guys on Twitter as well, at VetShirtium.
You know what? Just a part of the – I promise not to be a raving D-bag at this and just troll the hell out of people if – because
you're not going to do it in person. You'll just do it online.
Yeah. I'm going to be affected by this because if I have to sit and experience Dragon Bender at number 3,
yes,
I'll cry.
You should be. You should be upset. If there's a chance you can wind up with Dragon Bender out of this draft, you should be upset.
Or Buddy Hield.
But you do realize that you're going to get a whole lot of Shaq, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes if 1-4 comes up.
Or
2-4. But you're going to get a lot of that, right? Like I'll probably give it to
you.
Oh,
yeah, no, because I deserve it. Because I've been a troll-ass MF-er. I have been.
You have, and look, you can crow if you can crow if it comes one
way. No, I'm not going to crow. Okay. I'm just, I just always said it's for all the people that that said, this is Retweet Armageddon.
Yes.
If it doesn't end up Retweet Armageddon-esque, you deserve to be called out being an F-boy.
And here's the thing, though. 1-4 doesn't mean that, okay, like, it's going to be great. Like, we have no idea. Like,
it just means that the execution of the process, I don't say is...
The results.
Is better than I thought it was. Like, it's as expected. Not above expectations. Correct. Because, obviously, if the process was as expected, you would have gotten 2-1-2.
Yeah, like you could say that the results of the process were as good as one could reasonably expect.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair way to say it. All right, six-pack time.
Yep.
Jason Lock and Forrest says Sam Bradford will lose his starting job by Thanksgiving. Over, under. What are you taking?
See, because the Vegas odds for Carson Wentz starting, I think, was...
Oh, God, there's odds on that?
Yeah, I think it was 6.5?
6.5 games?
Yeah.
Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
So you'd be at week 10 by Thanksgiving?
About that. Sounds about right.
Damn. I'm going to say...
Vegas be knowing, man.
I'm going to say not Thanksgiving by December.
So under. Oh, I'm sorry. So over. So he'll get past Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Sam Bradford,
Carson Wentz will start 4 games this year.
Okay. So Sam Bradford will start the other 12?
Because they will be... In those 12 games that Sam Bradford plays, they will be 5-7.
Okay. All right. Question number 2, switching gears to basketball. Next Tuesday, when all is said and done, 9 p.m. Eastern time, the Sixers will end up with what?
The second pick.
Just two. Okay. That's fair. We'll talk more about it now, in about a few hours, an hour or so. But just two. Okay.
And that's cool.
That's fine.
I mean... I know people want to get greedy because they feel they deserve to be greedy. But just be happy with Brandon Ingram and just call it a day and just hope that things just start falling into place. I mean, then of course now the end all the most pointless discussion to have with Sixers people at this point is who the hell should target in free agency? Because everyone has this, oh my God, they're going to end up signing terrible free agents. I'm like, how do you know this? I mean, what has Brian Colangelo done? I mean, did he give 7-49 to Kenny Thomas? No. No, I mean, he had a bad trade where he traded, I think, Jermaine O'Neal. But overall, Brian Colangelo is an average general manager.
He's not bad. I'd probably, if I had to put him
on a scale of 1 to 10.
If I had to put him on one side or the other, I'd probably give him a 7. Like I think he's
a little bit. Give him 6.5.
He actually drafted like the three guys who are carrying the water for Toronto until Valanciunas got hurt. They were all drafted.
And he traded for Kyle Lowry.
He traded for Kyle Lowry. He drafted DeRozan. He drafted Valanciunas in Phoenix. He drafted Nash and traded him. Got him back. Got 2 MVPs while he was in Phoenix. Drafted Marion. Drafted Stoudemire. Colangelo's not bad. He's not terrible. Everybody looks at Andrea Bargnani. I get it. I understand. All right?
Joel Embiid.
Well, Bargnani's just trash.
Yeah.
Embiid is like, could be good, but hasn't played at all.
So. I'm just saying, but it's, you know what? But thankfully, like, I don't know. At some point, it just feels like none of these, Brian Colangelo will never, it's like the love of your life just left your ass.
Yep.
And now you got this girl who's pretty good. She got you tickets for the Roots picnic. I mean, she could like country music. So, I mean, be happy.
No, like you're right. Like, Brian Colangelo, I don't see a way, unless, I don't know, 8 years down the road, where it's completely Brian Colangelo's stamp on this team. This team turns around and wins a championship. I don't see any way that he's ever going to, like, turn the hearts of the diehard hinky lovers. I just don't see it.
Does he need to?
Brian Clancy don't give a damn about the hinky lovers. Like, he just wants to win a title.
Once again, I hate to say it, the hinky lovers are a vocal minority. They are not the majority. You know who he needs to start? You know what? I'm sorry to say this. Make the Sixers great again.
Oh, boy. Don't go there.
But you know what? He needs to start catering to people like me.
Just win a basketball game.
Yes.
Okay? Like, it doesn't
matter. No. But what if you win by signing DeMar DeRozan to a 4-year, $80 million contract?
Can, if DeMar DeRozan comes in with that, who by the way isn't worth 480, but whatever. If he comes in and the Sixers win 50 games in a couple of years, I don't care. That's fine.
Okay, so your principles aren't going to be compromised if they, frankly, make a less than ideal. Like an overpay contract, because frankly, you're going to need to overpay for a guy. Why in the hell would someone want to come here?
You're going to throw money at somebody. I don't know whether that's DeRozan, whether that's Beal, whether that's I don't know,
like, Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, like Alan Crabb,
or I mean, you're throw money at Dennis somebody. Schrader or Froder.
Yeah, you're going to throw money at somebody. Like whatever.
But it's fine.
I don't even care if you throw money at somebody. Just be good.
My whole thing is, why should you worry about cap space? You have a lot of it.
You're going to have like roughly $53 million.
And that's not even after this cap goes up.
That's what the new cap. Well, the $92 million.
Okay.
Like next year, you should have roughly $53 million.
But then after that, the cap will go up again.
After that, the cap's going to go up another $20 million. Carl Landry ain't going to be here. Then you're going to have tons more money.
So money should not be an issue.
No, money's not an issue at all. All you got to do is convince somebody that Philly is great. Which shouldn't be a hard sell, but again, what are you having to cover?
The sell. And Philly hasn't been great for a long time, so basically they're going to take your damn word for it.
Make the Sixers great again.
See?
You know what? You kind of sold me on this.
Like, I know the origin is bad, yes. But like it for this, it makes sense.
You're absolutely right. Question three. Ben Simmons skipping the NBA draft combine, got no time for Chicago. Are you worried about that at all? Is that a red flag at all?
He's got a couple of red flags for me to begin with. I mean,
is that a red flag though?
Yeah. My whole thing is,
I'm going to say this: Carl Towns and Jahlil didn't go to the combine last year,
but they never had this diehard thing. Well, like you found out that Jahlil ain't got that bug afterwards. But I mean, this, you know what? This dude's starting to look like a dude that has known he's been the big dog for a long time.
Big cheese.
Yeah, and I think he's going to get humbled big time. I like, you know what? If I had a big board, I'd rather have, for the Sixers' sake, Sixers. I want them with Brandon Ingram.
Because you're a smart man.
Could you imagine if you had to deal like with Jahlil part two? Not with the beating people up, but just acting
sans dog. Because I think Jahlil's got a little bit of a dog. I think he's a little bit of a dog.
This, you know what?
I don't see it. I don't see the dog in Ben Simmons.
No, and once again, you don't acquire the dog. You don't go to the SPCA and get that dog.
No, but can you be? And we should probably say this, but can you be good sans dog?
No.
Can you be?
Well, for what you're asking this guy to be, once again, and I say, can this dude? How soon will this dude just start giving BS answers in to Philly reporters for like asking him if he's dogging it?
When's summer league? July.
You can't have I don't know if it's just Phil, but like I just know that fans are going to be on this dude if he starts not mailing it in, but like not giving it 186%.
Yeah. So November.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And one. Like, I think the liking go, but there's a couple things where, like, this dude, like, one, you've dealt with this with Joe, like, once again, hate to use the O word, but optics. You went with this with an injured dude for a year, whether this dude was dedicated. You can't even go with this again?
I mean, I think, I don't want to question Ben Simmons' dedication. I mean, I think he's a dedicated player. But, I mean, you saw last year, or this past season at LSU, my man was just drifting.
No, he was going through emotions. Team with Ben Simmons in a crappy NCAA should not make the tournament.
No. You had way too much talent on that team not to be one of the 68 best teams in America. I mean, I'm sorry.
If you had a big board, who's your number one?
Oh, Brandon Ingram. We'll talk about it when we talk about it. Brandon Ingram. For the Sixers, Brandon Ingram makes the most
sense. That's why I'm hoping that the lottery saves the Sixers from themselves and gets the Sixers with number two.
Don't be scared. You're scared of the dog. You found out what happened when you didn't control the lottery last year, right?
But what if they get number one and draft Ben Simmons?
I put my faith and confidence in Brian Colangelo. That's all I can do. I won't love it, but I'm not going to say, oh, man, Ben Simmons, damn.
You know what?
But
if they get number one and they get draft Ben Simmons, I would not be opposed to trading the pick.
All right.
If you could get, I would say, if you could trade the number one pick flat out for Jimmy Butler, will you trade it? Not for Jimmy Butler? No. For a guy that, one, he's got issues.
He got issues. I really like Brandon Ingram. And I think Brandon Ingram could be sans issues.
If you had Ben Simmons, if you drafted Ben Simmons.
No, but if I have the one, I'll just take Brandon Ingram.
No, but if
I, all right, if I'm at two, let's say I'm at two, and whoever has one drafts Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Would I trade Ben Simmons for Jimmy Butler? No, I can't do that. Nah. That's bad business, man. You trade Ben Simmons goes somewhere and becomes a star. Like, you just get fired immediately.
But
like,
one, you still hasn't eliminated the problem of
who gets
scoring.
Who gets buckets?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't have an answer.
Because once again, at some point, I think someone said, I think even Brett Brown said, BPA is out the window.
You got to get buckets, man. Somebody got to get buckets.
And one, with Dario and this front court logjam, where does he fit?
He's going to have to play a lot of three. Like, he's going to be your three. He has to. He's going to play most of the minutes at three.
I just see this guy as not being... I mean, he seems like a good kid, but, like, not a kid who handles losing well.
Chris in the chat room says, I don't think Simmons ever wanted to be in college. I agree with that 1,000%. Like, if he could have just jumped to the NBA, he just would have left. Like, there really was no point for him ever to go to LSU. And if you were going to go to college, just go to Kentucky, where they don't really care about you going to class. Whereas, apparently, in LSU, like, they actually take attendance and stuff. Just go to Kentucky. Just be one of them dudes. And just because you could have drifted through college at Kentucky and probably won a title.
Yeah.
So just go to Kentucky. Chris also says Jimmy Butler has an ego problem. Isn't Jimmy Butler the dude now in Chicago? Or does like Derrick Rose still kind of think he's the dude?
No. But he thinks once again being the dude for a team requires exceptional responsibility.
Yes.
Where you can't act like the like basically. He was asking for preferential treatment all over the place. He wasn't even taking the flights back, the road flights back.
Oh, he wasn't flying back with the team?
Nah.
Oh, that's jerky.
Yeah, so, right. I mean, once again...
Even Kobe flew with the team.
But once again, if the Sixers are going to be really good, is Ben Simmons their best player?
Ben Simmons can't be their best player. He can't, if they're going to be good. He can't be. You gotta get buckets, man. I need somebody to get buckets. I don't care if it's Jamal Murray. Get buckets. Also, I still take Simmons at two. If Ingram's off the board at one, I still take him at two. But you gotta get buckets.
But you're keeping him.
Yeah, I'm keeping him. Even though I know Jimmy can get buckets. I gotta take Ben Simmons at that point. But we'll talk more about that when we talk draft. Question number four. I'm gonna offer this to you again. Because now Stephen Curry is back. Warriors or the field in the NBA playoffs? Who you got?
Warriors.
I thought you took the field last week. Or maybe 2 weeks. I don't even know when it was.
No. I always took the Warriors.
All right. Never mind. I might be wrong on this. Still the Warriors?
Yeah. I mean, I really thought the only team that could beat them was San Antonio. And obviously, San Antonio might not get out of the next round.
Nope.
And one, he's a really good player, but... For this era of just having to keep up the pace, LaMarcus Aldridge isn't a good fit for that. Like for beating every other damn team, he's really good. But beating the Warriors, they ain't got no shot beating the Warriors. Like the way they're constructed, and one asking these three guys to keep pace with the Golden State Warriors just isn't happening.
It's just tough, man.
No, like the Thunder have a better shot of beating the Warriors than the Spurs do. They won't. But they'll probably get beaten five games.
The Warriors will win.
Yes.
Okay. Question five, and we'll talk a lot more about this later in the show. Tracy McGrady, as we alluded to earlier, said that Stephen Curry winning the MVP award unanimously shows how, quote, watered down the NBA is. Agree or disagree?
Coming from a guy that never won an MVP or never won anything.
So great to be in the second round, Tracy McGrady himself.
No, I mean, it's like, and you know me, like, I mean, like, I just always think, like there was a period of 8-10 years where the NBA sucked.
It was terrible.
But now the NBA is I don't say as good, but it's the best the NBA has been. Hell, I would say pre-second Jordan run.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably Jordan Bulls. Yeah.
No, like that first Jordan run, not because that 96 like.
You think that was a Fugazi run?
No. Like the teams just sucked. I mean.
Okay.
Like I mean, it was the.
The Sonics, Jazz.
Sonics, Jazz.
Those teams suck.
No, not suck, but every, like, What does watered down mean? Does the elite...
Not as good. Well, I think he means not as good. Like, I think he means it's more top-heavy than it was.
That's fine.
I think he's saying there were more good teams back in his era.
Oh, he's 100% right. I mean...
That's what I think he means.
I would interpret the same.
Maybe he means there's more good players. I mean, there were more good individual players. I don't know. I'm not sure if this
is exact. He was right. Like, I mean, it just sounds like... Like, weak to say that, because basically you're denigrating the title.
It's old man stuff, yeah.
But, I mean, if you want to break it down, he's not wrong.
Break it down.
He's not wrong. I mean, Roy, there's like 14 irrelevant NBA teams.
I want to, when we talk about this later, I want to break down the teams, or maybe not the teams, but the players in the McGrady era, if we're going to call it that, and this current era.
Did you see the first... And this was in an up year for the East. Half the teams in the East made the playoffs are terrible.
Yeah, and like you said, this is a good year. This is a year where everybody in the East actually won. Well, every playoff team won more than half their games, like which never.
When's the last time the East has been really good?
It's been a long time.
It's been since like the Jordan
era.
Probably
the Jordan era. Yeah,
you can't go 15 years with like it. Just all the talent is in the West. That's why it. For being a just general NBA fan, not it would be cool to see Kevin Durant go to an East team.
It would be
like, say he went to Boston.
That'd be kind of fugazi. That'd be like LeBron esque by Kevin Durant, but he probably should for his own benefit.
But what would be less fugazi? Him going to the Celtics or him going to the Spurs?
I want to see that Spurs thing. I need to see that, man. My old man Tracy McGrady and me. Needs to see somebody knock the Warriors off. I need somebody to take them out.
But, like, I'm trying to think. Are the Warriors just a real... Like, I just think these NBA people and these ex-players aren't giving the Warriors enough dap.
You're absolutely right.
They just see them as a jump-shooting team. At some point, they're going to say, maybe they're just really the best jump-shooting team in the history of the NBA.
But just selling them as a jump-shooting team kind of sells them a little short. I mean, they're an extraordinary team in, like, multiple facets. Like,
But their bread is buttered. They're just an amazing jump-shooting team.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, they're really good defensively.
Yeah.
Like, they can score not off jump shots. I mean, they...
But they just do.
But, yeah, but they move the ball extremely well.
It's all ball movement. Right. And then you just got a guy that's just... On just an amazing run.
He's just not of this world.
Yeah. I mean,
Steph Curry's just the best shooter.
And of course, this won't last forever. No. I mean, like, hate to say it, this might be the last year.
Probably is last year.
But appreciate it.
Appreciate it while you're watching it. Speaking of appreciation, the Chicago Cubs walked Bryce Harper 6 times on Sunday and hit him with a pitch once, did not register an official at bat. This is a bitch move or not?
No!
So you could just pitch around a dude.
Yes.
Why?
They did it to Barry Bonds.
They would at least give him an at bat once a game. They would just throw him something.
He went
12 at bats in a row, Bryce Harper, without an official.
See, total appearances. I appreciate that because that just shows, man, we ain't letting you beat us. Because how many times have we like watched a game or any game, football, don't let X beat you.
Yes.
And they beat you. And you're like, why in the hell did you let him beat you? The Cubs are just not letting you beat him.
Don't you go mano a mano.
No. Why? Well, once again, it's that macho lunkhead. Like, maybe if this was the playoffs. Maybe.
Oh, no. I'd walk him in the playoffs before I walk him now. I mean, like.
But, like, I always say, don't let the best player beat you. You're not letting him beat you. So, smart managing by Joe Maddon. I mean, it's not manly, but who the hell cares about manly when you're 24-6?
And speaking of things that aren't manly, Sam Bradford ended his holdout this week. The long national and city nightmare is over.
By the way, broken by Lane Johnson, by the way.
Yeah, Lane Johnson, Jordan Matthews, Connor Barwin, they all said, yo, he's coming in Monday. Like, it's cool.
So, obviously, he's still cool with the homies. So obviously, this is just business, and I should have known that. That, like, these athletes get it. I mean, they're all like, dude, you just trying to get your money. Or not, but it's not even about the money.
It's not even about the money. Because he got money. He has a lot of money.
See, this is what, but at least it wasn't an elongated holdout. So, like, he didn't totally screw him.
What was the point?
Oh, there was no point.
Okay.
No. Like, Sam Bradford and his agent look so stupid at this point. It was the worst power play ever because there was no power.
If you're gonna hold out until, like, mandatories, all right, I get it. Because, I mean, that's probably what Fletcher Cox is going to do. So you're going to hold out through the voluntary workouts, hold out through OTAs to make a point. I get it. But you're going to hold out for 2 weeks and just, like, roll up on, a voluntary workout?
In the history of holdouts, have you ever seen a mediocre ass dude like this, like, demand something?
Well, no. I never seen him demand something. And I've never just seen him just roll up, like, a couple weeks later, like, before mandatory stuff, and say, hey, guys, what's up? Like, everybody, even mediocre dudes, when they hold out, they show up. Like, they hold out. Like, they wait. They make you wait. And then they show up. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to get fined because I'm not a dummy. But here I am.
But I think the consensus was, like, from everyone that, like, actually had an opinion about this, and damn near everyone had an opinion, yep. It was like, when the hell did Sam Bradford light the world up for him to be demanding stuff?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he's not in a position to start demanding things, either whether that be a starting job, even though everybody told him he was going to be the starter, but whatever have you. Sam Bradford said, quote, the business side of football is sometimes a necessary consideration. What are you talking about? You're going to be the starter. They told you you're going to be
if
starter.
If you, like, and obviously he doesn't want to be here, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But if you somehow go 10-6, because it's, again, be a damn miracle if you ever go 10-6 here.
Yes.
Won't you be worth a lot of money to someone else?
Yes.
Because obviously.
Either the Eagles or someone else. Probably not the Eagles because they got a guy. But somebody will pay you.
So this is what I, if you're, like, your job prospects are in your hands. Yes. But of course.
They always were.
His thinking, like, and it's, I don't even think it's even drafting a quarterback. I think it's trading that pick for someone that's not going to be able to help him.
You've been stuck on that for a while.
I really think that's because, let's just say, have you seen these running backs?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit of a talent drain. I don't know.
Well, think about it. You would, like, Sam Bradford probably, at least, if they didn't make this trade, would have had one more offensive piece for him to improve his play.
Probably a running back.
Yeah. And maybe it wouldn't have been John Smallwood. You maybe would have got a guy in the third round instead of the fifth.
CJ Procise.
Yeah, because you would have had your pick.
Yes.
You would have had that first pick in the fourth round.
Yep.
You would have his thing is, if it's going to be on me, because I really think he's like, okay, I'm here for 1 year, but you need to give me all the tools so I can have a ball ass year and I can get the hell out of here.
Right.
That's not the case.
Yeah, but was that his, you think that was his assumption when he signed the contract? Because if he did, that's a terrible assumption.
Oh no, it's stupid. Okay. He really thought they were going to draft a quarterback, just not in the first round and not trading up for one.
So if Sam Bradford, if the Eagles, I don't know how they would have worked this, but whatever. The Eagles would have somehow wound up with Paxton Lynch, and not at 8, because that's terrible. But they would have
traded down to like 17.
Okay, yeah.
And drafted Paxton Lynch. I still think he'd be pissed.
Yeah, well, he'd still be mad.
All right. So he'd be mad regardless.
Yes.
But Hackenberg wouldn't have lasted. All right. Maybe if they would have drafted Dak Prescott.
Yeah, like Dak Prescott.
So what would have been the Mason Dixon line of quarterbacks?
Probably Hackenberg. He's probably the guy. Christian Hackenberg in like the second round would have been the guy.
But remember, they didn't have a second round pick.
Let's say you trade down. Okay. Let's say you trade down from 8 to whatever.
And they got a second round pick.
Pick up a second round pick and draft Christian Hackenberg. Maybe Sam would have been all right with that. Maybe.
But this is what I don't get is this guy has had a lot of adversity in his career. He's played for the Rams, which is just in itself just adversity.
Yep.
He's had like a kabillion offensive coordinators.
Yes.
He's had no skill position players.
Yes. Injured all the time.
Yep. Isn't this like the least adversarial moment of his career?
You got a new coach coming in, getting rid of that bum ass offense that you ran last year.
Oh, but I don't know if you saw people drinking that red Kool-Aid now.
Garrett Celek.
More plays, less talk.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Well, hold that because I want to talk about that. But you got a new coach coming in, you got rid of that bum ass offense. You got a pro style offense. You have multiple quarterbacks in your ear every single day, which you probably never had in St. Louis. I don't think you ever had in St. Louis.
And you sure as well, and you didn't have one that was worth a damn last year.
And as sucky as the running backs may be, the quality of running back, receiver, and tight end talent here right now is probably better than at any point with the Rams.
Oh yeah,
like at any point. Like I mean, I know you. I mean, I know the Rams had guys, random guys here and
there. Kenny Britt,
Tavon Austin, Kenny Britt, whatever have you, Jared Cook.
And we think the Eagles receivers suck.
Yeah, we think the receivers are underwhelming. We think the running backs are underwhelming. But it's still more talent than you ever had, dog. And so you probably have more talent on defense than you
so
ever had.
So obviously this was an impulsive thing for Sam.
Yes.
He was like, you know what, this is bull.
This is garbage. This is garbage.
Even though it's not really garbage.
It's not really garbage.
Because, I mean, if you just, even with the things that you have at your disposal now.
Yeah.
It is possible for you to have a pretty good season.
I would agree. I think 8-8 and 9-7 is reasonable.
And if you win 9 games, you are getting paid $22 million.
Let me ask you a question. All right. Let's say Sam didn't pull this. Let's say Sam comes in. Let's say there was an actual legit starting quarterback competition, and for whatever reason, Carson Wentz wins. Maybe because they want him. And Carson Wentz started 16 damn games. Worst case scenario for Sam Bradford. Collects $18 million this year, gets bought out for another $4 million next year. People still look back at that tape from 2015, right? Those last 8 games, right?
No.
They look back?
No. They see a guy who didn't lose. Who got beat out? Because right now.
Yes.
Who are the best quarterbacks in ranking? Sam Bradford is the
Sam
best quarterback.
Sam Bradford.
It's not even close.
All right, but if
it Carson shouldn't Wentz, be close.
If Carson Wentz gets the job, that doesn't necessarily mean he's the best quarterback.
Yeah, it does.
No, it means the Eagles want to start to do.
No, but like you can't have him be complete garbage and start and be like, oh guys, he has to show you something.
What, in preseason?
Yes.
All right, so if the two of those, Bradford and Carson Wentz play equal, and let's say the Eagles start Carson Wentz.
But they shouldn't be equal.
Okay, all right. So you're saying that if they're equal, then Sam Bradford's a hoe.
If Sam, soft-ass Sam.
Soul.
Soft Sam. Yes. How you doing? Is it at least noticeably better than a dude that was playing Boise?
Not even Boise State. University of Boise.
Yes, University of Boise, whatever. Like a month ago.
Yeah.
Who was out for 7 games. You need to find a new line of employment.
All right, okay. I get it now. I get that. So he can't lose his job.
And maybe, you know what? Maybe there's a little part of soft Sam that thinks he ain't better than Carson Wentz.
You can't be that much of a... You can't be that this level of the NFL, a former number one pick, and be that insecure. You can't be.
I think this is all insecurity.
This is... Oh, my God, man.
No, I think it's all insecurity where, like, one... Why aren't the Eagles treating me like an eight... Like basically, they just paid you to shut up. Like, I mean, you would think... I think his thinking is, and I'm... Because I'm a psychologist.
Yes.
I'm like Dr. Melfi. Like, they're saying, okay, I'm getting paid $18 million.
Yep.
I should be allowed, like, certain, like things. Like, Eagles man should be treating me like a king.
Because
they're like, dude, we just paid you $18 million just to, like, keep the seat warm. Basically, he is the most expensive seat warmer in the history of seat warmers.
You know, you're absolutely right.
But, like, that's the thing. Wouldn't you be okay with being a seat warmer?
And was, yes.
But people are saying no. Like, no, they're saying, why? I'm better than a seat warmer. But then why did you sign the contract?
You signed a seat warmer deal, but you're like, man, I'm better than a seat warmer. It's like our analogy last week. It's like, if you a hoe, then don't agree to hoe-type contracts. Hoe-type deals.
Yes, like, don't...
If you don't think you a hoe...
Don't sign the Black China deal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't be Black China.
Because don't even get me started on her. Because don't be I don't even know who the hell she is, but she makes a lot of money.
She has emojis now. She has her own emojis.
I
have no idea who she is.
Wasn't she dating Tyga?
I don't know. You told me.
No, I think... But, like, you would think... Sorry, segue. But they're sharing... Sisters and brothers are sharing significant others. It's weird. I mean, because Kylie Jenner dates Tyga.
I forgot that.
And now Fat Rob Kardashian is Black China's having Black... Like, well, one, Rob's baby. Hate to say this, this is all a money grab from Black China right
there. I don't blame her. Like, I get it. Like, she parlayed this into a lot of money. Because she would not have Black China emojis if it wasn't for Rob Kardashian. She wouldn't.
But, because, obviously, these people don't have any pride. Because, could you ever live in a house with your boyfriend's ex-girlfriend in the crib?
That's a weird dynamic. It's a really weird dynamic. Although apparently Elin and Lindsey Vonn are cool because they were at the Kentucky Derby together.
So you can't find another woman on the planet other than Blac Chyna, Rob. I know you're fat, and I know you have like insecurity problems, like Sam Bradford. But nonetheless, we can't even talk about it because I just see Blac Chyna trending, and I'm like, why?
Because she's linked up with the Kardashians, man. Like, Blac Chyna's smart. Like, if I wasn't married, I'd find a way
to get blame into... Orenthal James Simpson. Because if Orenthal James Simpson wasn't on trial for murder, none of these people would be relevant.
Yeah, you're probably right.
None of these people.
It really is OJ's fault.
It is OJ. You could have the OJ found, like, tree of responsibility and one. Faye Resnick would have never been popular, so now she would have made those, like, weird-ass book.
But then we would have never got People versus OJ, though. We never would have got that TV series, though. So maybe it's all for the best.
You know what? They need to do before, like, I don't know if people remember. When they finished a Real World season and they did a Where Are They Now?
Yes.
Can we put all these people that are alive in one room? Well, the ones that can be in the room because OJ's in jail. But
yeah, well, he's up for parole next year, I think.
That would be the great, like, how many millions of people would see that?
If you put Chris Darden and Marcia Clark and OJ and Lance Ito and Kato Kaelin.
Yes.
And I don't know, whoever else is.
Now,
what member of the legal team is still alive? Well,
Effley Bailey.
Effley Bailey.
The now disbarred Effley Bailey.
Yeah,
but Robert Effley Shapiro. Bailey, and Shapiro. Of course, more importantly, Lance Ito's wife.
And Lance Ito's wife. Put them all in a room.
And of course, you can't forget the F-bomb himself, the fur man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I mean, well, nah, I was going to say something political, but I'm not going there. How do we get the Blac Chyna? How do we get the...
No, like I was just saying, like, the hoe like deal.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
yeah. If you don't think you're a hoe, don't.
You don't think at some point the Eagles said, you know what, Sam, we got to look at other options. But in the meantime, we're going to give you this sweet ass deal.
I don't think they told him. I was like, yo, you're the guy. And then they went from 13 to 8. And they were like, yeah, maybe we can turn it up from 8 to 2. Did that. And I'm like, well, shoot, we're here. What the hell? Because Howie Rosen himself said, it was a quote, pipe dream to move up from 13 to draft one of the top two dudes. Well, the pipe dream happened.
So basically, Sam Bradford can blame Kiko Alonso then.
Yeah. Kiko Alonso in his half shirt.
Because because I get it. If they were at 13, I don't think they would have ever thought about it. But one, if you would think about it, Roy... If you had all the picks back and the Eagles didn't do anything, say they kept
all
these
dudes,
and you were 13, how crappy would this team be right now?
Yeah, you still have Kiko Alonso, and you still have Byron Maxwell.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You'd have Eli Apple and his mom, which would be great. But, like, I mean.
Well, no, because he got drafted 10th, so you wouldn't even have Eli Apple. I don't even know what you would have, but it'd be terrible.
Carl Joseph?
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
No, that's why.
Laramie Tunsil. Oh, you have Laramie Tunsil.
Could you imagine Laramie Tunsil in Philadelphia?
Oh, man. The weed sales in Philadelphia, man.
Yeah, man. You go to Wonderland. Everyone would buy gas mask bongs.
That'd be great. Like, I would open a gas mask store.
but you realize that this is what they did was in the best, like, that is the best case scenario 2 weeks after the draft.
Yeah. Like, I would do that. I would do what they did 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
No.
Even staying at 8. Like, I mean, you would end up with Jack Conklin.
Yeah.
You'd still have Soft Sam.
As we mentioned before, Soft Sam, who I guess is talking to his coach now because he wasn't returning the calls before, will have to talk to the media May 17th, a.k.a. draft lottery day, for the first day of OTAs. According to Andrew Brandt, Eagles were looking for at least one second-round pick for Soft Sam, maybe more. If you call a team and say, yo, you got Sam Bradford on the table, you got to give us at least a 2. 31 teams will just bang the phone on you immediately. Like, there's no conversation.
See,
after
this
that.
Is why... I think, and this is just, I have nothing to back this up.
Yep.
I think it happens every year a quarterback goes down. I mean,
all the time.
Yeah, and a good team. Yep. I mean, you never want to, like, say the Falcons, like, who, I won't say are good, but, like, I mean, they have a snowball's chance in hell to make the playoffs. Say they might lose Matt Ryan, or like there is a team desperate enough to be like, we can't not be good this year,
right?
And maybe they can give you a third round pick. I just think that is still a possibility.
That's still a possibility of happening. Like if some team's quarterback gets hurt the third week of preseason, you could see Sam Bradford get traded for a third round pick.
What if Tony Romo goes down again?
I'm not trading Sam. Well, maybe I do, because maybe I want to sabotage the Cowboys. Maybe I do trade Sam Bradford.
Say you can get a second round or a third round pick for Sam Bradford.
I'll probably do it.
Yeah. Why?
Dak Prescott. Give me Dak Prescott in a third, and I'll do it. I'm not above doing that.
But it's like, I just can't imagine. You know, I might go to training camp this year just so I can boo. Because, you know, it won't be a while to, because this was such a fugazi, phony move.
Fugazi.
It just reeked. But even before that, you're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, why? Why, Sway? Yeah. Like, why? Ron Jaworski, former guest of the show.
Oh, God. basically, the white Tracy McGrady, the white Charles Barkley.
Former guest of the show and sometimes employee of the Philadelphia Eagles. Said that Sam Bradford told that was, quote, insulting. Here's another quote. Quote, I think when a player literally walks out on the team, he's got some apologizing to do when he walks back in that locker room. And I'm sure he's done that. He's a stand-up guy.
The same Ron Jaworski who held out after the Eagles decided Randall Cunningham was going to be quarterback?
1986.
See, man, people, like, when people say ish like this, they need to realize that stuff's on the internet.
1986. Ron Jaworski was getting paid $500,000 and $600,000 the next year. He wanted a new deal for $700,000 and $800,000. He held out, and Matt Kavanaugh was the Eagles' number one quarterback until Ron Jaworski came back. He held out. He's like, no, not going to do it. Held out. Was that hold out insulting 30 years ago? Insulting.
Once again, if you would have just had a medium take, no one would care. But you just went all in.
You can't, and I like Ron. I'm going to use him on the show. You can't go hard in the paint. Especially when you like basically calling yourself out.
Yeah.
Like you're going hard on
this. Yeah. Once again, come on, just take it for what it's worth, please.
All right. Now that the draft's over, now that Sam's back, everybody's back in the fold, but Fletcher Cox, which hopefully it'll happen at some point. We can finally start looking at the post-draft depth chart. Our friends at Bleeding Green Nation, Brandon Gauton, went online last couple of days. Posted his projected depth chart for certain, well, actually for every position, but we're only going to go down certain positions because you know what the depth chart is at certain positions. At wide receiver, top six guys, Jordan Matthews, Nelson Aguilar, Josh Huff, Reuben Randall, Chris Givens, TJ Graham. You all right with that? Is that a six?
Except for moving up Reuben Randall from 4 to 3. Because there's no way in hell Josh Huff, whoever the hell his name is, should be ranked over anybody.
But let's say Matthews and Aguilar are your outside dudes. Like, is Randall going to be your slot guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And I think you'll be doing a lot of interchanging. I think because Reuben can be an X.
Yes.
I mean that's what he was with the Giants. So I don't want to get optimistic about this core because they really do suck. But like I mean, Nelson Aguilar can't be worse. And that's the thing. In a West Coast offense, because he was a West Coast receiver at USC.
Right.
Have him, he can't be any worse.
He can't be any worse.
Like, I'm just basing the fact on this receiving core has to be better because Nelson Aguilar, just by himself, can't be a complete bomb. He can't be any worse than he was last year.
I think Jordan Matthews will at least be as good as he was last year. I think he'll clean up some of those drops.
Reuben Randall can't be any worse than what
Riley Cooper or slash Miles Austin.
Miles Austin can be.
Yeah, so you're fine.
Can Josh Huff be any worse?
Nah, it'd be hard. It'd be hard to be worse than that. At guard, we got Brandon Brooks, Alan Barber as your starters, and you have Gardner Seumalo, I believe that's how you pronounce it, as the first two backups. BGN has Wisniewski at center, although he'll probably be in the mix at guard as well. You okay with Brooks and Barber as your starting guards? You all right with that?
Week one, it will be Isaac Seumalo.
Who's your LG right now?
it will be, like, right now it's Alan Barber, but I think Isaac Seumalo will, by week two or three, be your starting left guard.
You'll be the guy?
All right. And if you were, man, they got pretty good depth now. I mean, it's not great.
It's okay.
But, let's just say you ain't got Allen Gardner. No. You ain't got.
But you have Gardner. Just ain't.
But yeah, he's like eighth string. Yeah. And more importantly, you don't have these guys playing all these plays.
Exactly. You don't have guys playing like 80 plays.
So J.C. Peters won't take himself out this year.
No. Yeah, J.C. Peters won't just say, you know, I'm not about this life. I'm out. I'm not playing right anymore. I'm done. At defensive end, Connor Barwin and Brandon Graham are listed as the starters.
Ben Rock. All right, it's 649. Yes. How many minutes will you rant about a person making $9 million and not being a one or a two?
I'm not going to. No, I wasn't going to bring it up. I just wanted to say Brandon Graham and Connor Barwin are your starters. Vinny Curry, Ben Rock, number three. Mark Smith, number six on the depth chart, number one in your heart.
Six on the team or six as a DE?
Six as a DE behind Travis Long and Brian Braman.
No.
If Marcus Smith is behind Brian Braman on the DE depth chart right now, just quit. Just quit football. Just pull a Sam Bradford. Just quit. You can't be that much of a hoe. You can't.
Here, I'm going to ask you, will Marcus Smith make this team?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say no. I think they'll find a way to keep the kid McAllister.
Alex McAllister?
The more I think about it, he is one of these situational specialty guys that can just rush the passer. Just don't ask him to do anything else. Can Marcus Smith do that?
I don't know.
I know. You know what? I don't know. I think, but how much crow will Howard need to eat on this?
Oh, you gotta eat a ton of it. You gotta eat a ton of it. I mean, this is you. I really wanted to blame Charles, man.
But no, when a guy just raises his hand and say, "This is my bad, guys.
That's me. I messed up. That's my bad." It's that dude in pickup who says, like, oh, it's my bad, my bad. You know, that's Marcus Smith, but that's a really bad.
You would think that his worst mistake would have been Danny Watkins.
Fireman.
Or Jaquan Jarrett. This is why I'm trying to be Team Howie, but I go back and saying, these three failures aren't even just failures. They are on the Mount Rushmore of failures of the franchise.
Those three guys, the players picked in those three spots should be starting right now.
Yeah.
They should be. They should still be on this team.
You could argue that Marcus Smith and Danny Watkins could be two of the five or six worst first-round picks this franchise has ever had.
Yeah, I would agree. Absolutely. Yeah.
They're worse than Antone Davis.
Yeah. They did.
Worse than Bernard Williams.
Yeah, I mean, you can even lump in second-round picks. They were probably worse than Bruce Walker. Like, you can lump, you can have, like, these were terrible.
But right now, this is your current general manager.
Yes. So you traded up everything to get a kid from North Dakota.
Will we ever forget Marcus?
Look, you win a Super Bowl. I forget a lot.
But.
Well, no. I'll take it back. I won't forget. I'll forget.
Will Howie let Doug Peterson cut Marcus Smith?
Oh, yeah. No. If you got to go, you got to go. Like, I don't think Howie's going to just, like, let this dude, like, keep this dude around just because he's got to justify something. No. Nah, if Marcus Smith is a bum, then he's got to go.
How can he be this over a special teams, two special teams guys?
Yeah, Brian Braman's a special teams dude. You can't play him like as a down lineman. That's why I think Marcus Smith makes it. I think he makes it. I think Braman makes it because he's good on special. I think Travis Long probably gets bounced. But I think you're right. McAllister may stick around.
I'm interested to see what this 53-man roster looks like.
There's some projections. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. There's some projections about the 53 that are out there that we'll
discuss next week. You got a lot of depth at cornerback.
You got a lot of depth at quarterback.
You just don't know, like, I mean, where do you put in Jalen Mills? Where do you put in Countess?
Well, I know a place where you don't have depth. That's linebacker. Because these backup linebackers are trash. You got three starters, one of whom might be trash. I don't know if Nigel Broham is a starting caliber strong side linebacker, but whatever. After them, you got Najee Good and a bunch of dudes like you just found on the street. This linebacker situation is a problem, man. They got to sign a dude. They got to get somebody.
Joe Walker.
It's a 43. So you have to have three. They got three, but they only got one more. Just one extra dude.
You can't make Marcus the linebacker.
How many? At this point, you probably should.
But how many times will this dude be jerked around?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how many times will you going to make him, what, your weak side linebacker? Or just make him?
I don't know. I know, but you're, and one, one of your linebackers has shown a propensity to be injured.
Yeah, like Michael Kendricks will get hurt within the first 6 weeks of the season. So Najee Good and Nigel Broham will be your starting linebackers at some point early.
Even Jordan Hicks.
Jordan Hicks got hurt too. Yeah.
And he had a propensity to get hurt at Texas.
Yeah.
What the hell?
You got two hurdy running backs and a dude who was really good under the tutelage of Jim Schwartz a couple of years ago. But you have no idea what you got now.
All right, so those are the two biggest holes right now, running back and linebacker.
Absolutely, I believe so.
Is linebacker the biggest?
Yeah, I think so. You got it. You have you. Well, see, I'm higher on Kenyon Barner than you are. So I think a Kenyon Barner.
Who's two? Who's the number two?
Who's number two? Kenyon Barner. Oh God. I think Ryan Matthews, Kenyon Barner, Darren Sproles, Thunder, Lightning, and Cloud thing can work.
What about John Smallwood?
Whatever. Fine. Just whatever.
Will he make the team?
He'll make the practice squad. He's like 5'8". Like, whatever.
You're going into a football season with those three running backs?
And my cousin Trey Burton, tight end / fullback.
Oh, my God. If you go into the annals of Eagles history, this will by far be the worst running back core you will ever.
No, because they had, like, James Brooks 1 year or Saran Stacey or something. They had some terrible running backs. Heath Sherman. You're telling me Ryan Matthews and Kenyon Barner are better than, like, Heath Sherman.
You realize Ryan Matthews will be on IR at some point.
I understand he'll get hurt. I get it.
Kenyon Barner. So then you're going to have Kenyon Barner and Darren Sproles.
They're fine. They're I don't want to say fine because that may be a result. They're adequate. I believe, man. I believe in Kenyon. Like, I sound like ESP right now. I think Kenyon Barner is a solid backup NFL running back.
But at some point, he will be your bell cow. That's what I'm saying is if you had a competent a guy that would be there. I mean, Ryan Matthews needs to be there.
So you're more worried about your running backs than you are your linebackers.
Oh, by far.
All right. You have two linebackers who get hurt all the time.
You have your number one running back. Your number one running back
who
will get hurt all the time. A 5'4" KJ Pace back and Kenyon Barner.
All right. Fine. All right. Okay. Fine. Bring it up. Bring another dude in.
Yes. Has Arian Foster been signed yet?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Can't bring him in. If you bring in a lot of guys, that will get hurt. But at least it will be a next man up thing.
It was like Arian Foster's all like if Arian Foster came in and let's say he's your number two, he gets hurt all the time. So then what's the difference?
But then it just progresses.
But I'm saying you have two linebackers who get hurt. Your top two linebackers get hurt. Your top two running backs get hurt. What's the difference? Like, both positions are still ass, right?
You're going to ask, which means you're going to... This is why Sam Bradford is going to have to throw the ball. And I just don't trust Sam to throw the ball. He's going to throw the ball like 30 times a game.
Well, now we have Josh Huff, the newly rejuvenated Josh Huff. Chris is chatting up Wendell Smallwood because he's from Delaware. maybe he can find... But can you have 2.58 or under running backs, like, get, like, a lot of carries? No, I mean, I know he led the Big 12.
Yes, he's a bell cow.
Can Wendell Smallwood come in and get 80 carries this year? Is that too much?
No.
All right. Maybe I'm underselling the kid.
And one, he's a West Coast running back. I mean, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. That's the thing. You need strength in numbers at this point because your numbers will go down because you have Ryan Matthews.
So if you put Smallwood on the 53, are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's easy. No Arian Foster, but just bring in Wendell Smallwood.
I just always say, if the entire freaking league is just finding running backs anywhere, why can't the Eagles?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
Why can't we find our short Kendrick West and our...
His name is Kenyon Barner.
And the other guy.
Spencer Ware?
Yes! Spencer Ware and short Kendrick West East. Wendell Smallwood and maybe Kenyon Barner. What are you basing this on?
Nothing, really.
I know he looked semi-good.
He looked semi-good at times last year, yeah.
But, like, can he be Bryce Brown without the fumbles?
He had a fumbling problem, too. sure. Yeah, he can be Bryce Brown. If I told you he's Bryce Brown sans fumbles, you okay with that?
I'm fine with it. Let's just say next year in the second round, because that will be when they pick, drafting a running back, which is fine.
At cornerback, Eric Rowe probably locked up one starting spot. You have Leotis McKelvin and Nolan Carroll competing at the other spot. But Ron Brooks and the homie Ja'Cory Shepherd in the mix as
See,
well.
I was going to troll, man, like I was going to say May 17th, I was going to troll people and say Ja Corey greater than Ja Leel.
What about Ja Rule? Who thought Michael Jordan gets paid off those crying Jordans?
See, this is who I'm hanging my hat on.
Ja Corey.
Because you're going to see this dude move up. It's going to be Eric Rowe, Nolan Carroll,
okay,
and right. Ja Corey Shepherd.
Better than Leotis McKelvey.
Yes.
Better than Ron Brooks. Like, NFL, veteran NFL dudes.
Yeah.
Ja Corey Shepherd.
This is how, man. This is my chance at Cornelius Ingram again. I've been on. I've been jocking this dude for a year, and then you got my boy Denzel Rice.
Yes.
You got Jalen Mills. I mean,
Jalen Watkins. Who? Well, and Jalen Mills, if you want to play him.
Jalen Watkins is a bum.
Yeah, and Jalen Mills, if you want to play him at corner,
and you got Count as one.
You got Count as one. You
know,
you got
what's his real name?
DeParkers. I don't even know at this point. Like now you got Count as one in my head.
So I don't even, but I know his name is Countess, right?
Yeah. Blake Countess. It's Blake Countess.
Blake Countess.
Yeah.
So Countess isn't his first name?
No.
Okay.
No, Blake Countess.
All right, so I'm pretty sure it's Blake Countess.
No, you're killing me because I'm pretty sure it's Blake Countess. I know it's not Countess Vaughn.
But you, and then your safeties are looking good.
Yeah, like your backup safeties are actually not terrible. Like you have Maragos, Ed Reynolds, and Jalen Mills as your backups. That's not bad.
No, because I think Jalen Mills will make the team as a safety.
As a safety, not as a
quarterback. There's just too much. You got enough quality guys. I don't say they're great. I mean, you hope Eric Rowe gets better.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm telling you, man, Ja Corey Shepherd's going to be this. He might be your starting cornerback by the end of the year.
Really?
Yes. All in on Ja Corey, man.
All in. All in on Ja Corey Shepherd. Eagles hired Bears director of college scouting Joe Douglas as their VP of player personnel. Spent a bunch of years in Baltimore under the Ravens. They also hired Ravens East Coast scout Andy Weedle to serve as Douglas' assistant.
Geniuses.
So you got two dudes who served under Ozzie Newsome, who I think by most accounts was one of the better drafters of the past decade and a half. So I'm good with this. I'm cool. I feel good.
Once again, yep. So far, I mean, they're progressing. And I guess that's all you can say. I mean, if you had to just give, are you a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or are you just in the middle with the Eagles overall?
Overall, if you gotta put me down somewhere, I say thumbs up.
Okay,
that's fine.
What is the one thing that you're hanging your hat on right now?
That
they got they potentially have a fair franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing to me so far. Like the best thing they've done this, and I haven't been a fan of a lot of the moves they've done this offseason, but they got what they believe to be a guy,
and
that's good.
Okay, but everything else, because. I mean, and not even the flip, but like, I just, like, for me anyway, like, you know what, at this point, I'd still give it it would be a thumbs, like, horizontal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but you said up, middle, or down.
One, so for I me said anyway, they addressed the offensive line, they still don't have a pass rusher. I mean, they're going to have to bring blitz. I mean, this is going to be a very, like, I think Schwartz will, but at some point, you're going to need an elite pass rusher. And your running back situation is for me, you still have the same bums on the, like, not bums, but you still have the same crew that was just mediocre AF last year.
And all that, everything you just mentioned is whether Eagles are 50-1 odds in Vegas.
Oh, I get it.
To win the Super Bowl.
They'll be in last place in the NFC East.
The worst team.
Yes.
Okay. Who has the best odds? Give me a, who has the best odds for winning Super Bowl 51? Right now in Vegas.
In the NFL?
In the NFL.
The Arizona Cardinals.
No. The Arizona Cardinals are actually 6th and 14-1, which I think is a good bet.
Oh,
I put 20 on them.
You know what? Right now,
I put 20
if on I had to, I mean, obviously, this is the most BS prediction ever. It's going to be the Arians Bowl. Arizona versus
Bruce
Arians.
Bruce Arians. Don't forget. Bruce Arians Bowl.
The Beret Bowl.
Yes, the Beret Bowl. Thank you.
Arizona Cardinals, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh's at 10-1, along with Green Bay. The leader in the clubhouse.
Of course.
Because people just can't let it go. The New England Patriots at 7-1. Even though Tom Brady might not play the first four games, it don't matter. 7-1.
Even though they lost their best pass rusher. I mean, is it just, this is just like blind faith in Bill.
Blind faith in Bill, blind faith in Tom. 7-1. Seattle, 8-1. I mentioned Green Bay and Pittsburgh 10-1, Carolina 11-1, Arizona 14-1, and Denver 16-1.
I guess having Mark Sanchez as your starting quarterback will decrease your odds.
That'll do that. I don't know if that 16-1 was with Sanchez or with Paxton Lynch. I think if it was with Sanchez, it might be like 25-1.
Man, this, you know what, man? Even though I don't, this season's going to be fun. It's going to be funner when you get Carson, because to be honest, I just hope this dude just blows their sock, like, just blows Bradford out of the water. Like, isn't that the dream, is for him to pull Russell Wilson? Because basically no one predicted Russell. Like,
game one?
No, but that's the thing. For me, anyway, the offensive line is not, like, usually I would worry if this offensive line was in shambles. Like, could you imagine Carson Wentz playing behind Lasher's offensive line?
Yeah. No.
You would have gotten destroyed.
Right.
One, especially with Chip Kelly's offense and all that. You got a guy that's going to protect the quarterback. Doug Peterson will protect the quarterback.
Right.
You'll run the ball with these bums. But, I mean, you won't ask this guy to carry the team. And you'll ask the defense. Like, for me anyway, you probably, I won't say you wouldn't get a better situation because his team could be better. I mean, Flacco was in a really good situation. But right. It's not the worst situation for starting. But, like, Blake Bortles had it worse.
Yeah, Blake Bortles had it worse. A bunch of guys.
Mariota had it worse.
Mariota, but
I mean, he got sacked. I mean, let's just say it's not David Carr.
Right. It's not David Carr. It's not Blaine Gabbert. I mean, there's guys who just had bad situations.
I don't think if the kid got thrown in away, unless he was just a mental midget, that his confidence would be completely shot, even if he had a bad season.
I would agree. Yeah, I agree.
If you started Carson Wentz, the problem is you don't even have a first round pick next year, but whatever. No. I mean, if you played Carson Wentz 16 games, 6-10, 5-11?
5-11.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'd be fine. Would you be fine with that?
Look, I would have tanked for Deshaun Watson anyway. So, like, if you want two quarterbacks on this team and figure it out like the Sixers do, then go ahead. Just do it. Give me Deshaun Watson. Give me Leonard Fournette. I'm good.
But this shows that the NFL's entirely, you can't tank in the pros. Like,
you can't,
like,
can't.
Could you imagine Eagles fans saying, oh, yeah, guys, we're going to punt on the season.
Oh, God. Oh, you kidding me? You can't. Yeah, you can't. No. Even if you had a first round pick, you couldn't tank.
No.
There's no way that you can go down with that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to talk a little bit more NFL and get to the NBA conference semifinals and what to make of Stephen Curry winning his second MVP in a row. You're listening to the Broad Street Line here on Spreaker Radio.